We have a new portion to look at today. We're still in Mark's Gospel, but we're at a different chapter. It's chapter 5. Mark, the chapter 5. And I'd like to read to you, but before I do that, I have something to say. Good morning, girls and boys. I nearly forgot, and you wouldn't have spoken to me all day if I hadn't have greeted you so. Alright, chapter 5. And we're going to read from verse 22 of this chapter. Verse 22. I might just say that the Saviour has been over the Sea of Galilee on the other side, and he there wrought that great miracle, whereby the man, or actually two, according to other gospel reports, who were delivered from devils. And now he's returned back again to the home side of the sea, where you find the cities of Capernaum, etc. And when he arrives home then, verse 22 tells us, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." And Jesus went with him. Isn't that nice? Jesus went with him. He didn't say, "Oh, wait a minute, I've just been away over the other side, I'm tired, and I have other things to do." No, boys and girls, you will always find the Lord ready to hear you and to help you. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. You know what thronged means? Well, when you're all bursting out at break time or lunchtime through that door, you're all jostling each other. That's what thronging means. Pressing up against each other. And so the people, all anxious to have a look at the Savior, to be close to him, to hear anything he might say, they're thronging him. They're pressing in around him. Verse 25, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press," that's the crowd that pressed in upon the Savior, "when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment." For she said, this is what she was thinking, she said to herself, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. The plague was that she was, to use a big word, hemorrhaging. That is, she was losing blood. And you know, if you're bleeding, what's going to happen to you? If it's not stopped, you're going to die. And this poor woman was going to die. But it says she was healed of the plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, power, that's what the word really means, power, had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, turned round, and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done the thing. He knew who it was. I want you to understand the wonderful knowledge of the Lord. With all the crowd jostling him, he still knew who it was that touched the hem of his garment. But the woman, fearing and trembling, you see, she thought she was in trouble. When she heard the Savior say, "Who touched me?" she thought she was in trouble. Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She needn't have feared or been frightened. In actual fact, she could have said within herself, "Well, now I touch his garment and I'm healed. Therefore, I haven't done anything wrong. I wouldn't be healed if what I was doing was wrong. Therefore, I don't need to fear." But of course, the poor woman was frightened, lest she had offended the Lord. Oh, we need to be frightened about that. We must never offend the Lord. And he said unto her, "Daughter, He called her daughter. That's a nice term. He didn't say woman, which wouldn't have been improper or insulting, but he called her daughter. Daughter. You know, some of you, when I greet you in the morning, the boys, I might pat you on the head and say, hello, son. Now, you're not my son. But it's a term of affection that we can use. And when I see some of the girls, we can likewise pat them on the head and say, hello, daughter. It's a term of affection. And so the Lord is speaking affectionately to this woman. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, what instruction the Saviour gave there. He explained what had happened to her, how it was she came about being healed, and how she now had peace, wasn't to be troubled, and she was whole of the plague. It wouldn't come back. You know, sometimes when people go to hospital and there's a healing wrought, and they come home again, they fear, what if this comes back? What if this disease reappears? And doctors can't say, no, it'll not. Doctors can't say that. But the Lord said, because only the Lord can say, as he did to this woman, you're whole, it'll not come back. May the Lord bless the reading from his precious word then. We're at another question addressed by the Lord, and it's here in verse 30. Who touched my clothes? Isn't it wonderful how the Lord knew that? I could touch your clothes and you wouldn't be a bit the wiser. Our clothes have no feeling. Oh, we can touch it, and with our fingers we can feel our clothes, but our clothes can't feel us. If I touched your face, you'd know it. But if I just touched your jacket or your jersey, you wouldn't know it. Because your garments don't have nerves that are connected to your brain and that tell you something has touched me. But the Lord knew his garments had been touched. The Lord's knowledge is way, way, way above ours, boys and girls. We began our reading at the verse 22, and there's mention of a little girl. And you know, there's a wonderful parallel between this little girl and the woman. We're told in the verse 25 that the woman had the issue of blood, this ailment, this disease, this sickness, 12 years. And the little girl, we're told in verse 42, was 12 years old. So the year that she was born was the year that the woman fell sick. And for those 12 years, the little girl was growing, becoming bigger and brighter, more lively, and then she died, or took sick and died. The woman, 12 years previously, had been well and strong and healthy. And then she became sick. And while the little girl was growing over those 12 years, that lady was declining and going down as the sickness became more serious. And she would have died of that sickness. You can read there in verse 26. She had suffered many things of many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. So she was going down over those 12 years while the little lassie was growing. But there's a picture here for us all, boys and girls. Gently, I press this point on you. We all face death one day. We all face death one day. That's why we need the Lord Jesus as our Savior. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You and I need life. We need life just as the young girl needed life, just as this lady needed life. And they both received life from the Lord Jesus. So do we need life from the Lord Jesus. Now, let's come to the question. The question concerned the woman touching the Saviour's clothes. That seemed a very trivial matter. Didn't seem of any great importance. Many had thronged him. That's the words that's used. And it simply means pressed round about him. And in doing so, they nudged him and bumped into him. Nobody would have intended, I'm sure, to have bumped into the Saviour. It seemed a little impolite to do that. But if you're in a crowd, somebody behind you pushes you, and before you know it, you've bumped into the person in front. And that's what happened here. People were bumping into the Lord, thronging him. But in the midst of all this nudging and bumping and touching, one woman didn't bump into him, but but very deliberately reached out her hand and touched his clothes. And that's what made the Lord ask the question, who touched me? Boys and girls, let me tell you, no matter how weakly we may approach the Lord and reach out to him, he will know about it. You may think, well, my prayers are not much. I pray at night and I don't say very much and Mommy has to help me and Daddy has to help me. But let me tell you, the Lord still hears when you address him. When you seek to touch him, he knows about it, just as he knew about this. Now, her touch, as I say, was seen probably by no one. And I'm sure of that because the disciples would have been close to the Lord. They would have kept close to him, naturally enough. And when the Savior said, who touched me, they didn't say, oh, she did. Because they didn't see her do it. It was unseen by men, but it was known by the Lord. It registered with him. It registered with him. And it mattered to him. It mattered to him. You know, here in school, there are things go on that you don't see. Sitting in class, maybe doing maths, or English, or geography. There may be somebody over there who's lifting up their heart and praying. You don't know about it, but the Lord does. The Lord knew about this. What man couldn't see, the Lord was aware of. Now, there's a word there for preachers. I can tell you that preachers oftentimes feel, when they're up there in the pulpit preaching away, I'm getting nowhere. I don't think anybody's really listening. I don't think I'm getting across to people. Preachers often think that. But we need to remember that there could well be in the gathering a woman just like this, or a man, or a boy, or a girl, who does the same as this woman and reaches out quietly and touches the Lord. Tell me, have you ever reached out and touched the Lord? Why don't you? You see, this woman was near him and she didn't miss the opportunity of reaching out and touching him. Now, there's a bit of background information given us here regarding this touch. I suppose we might say that the touch that took place, and it only took a second or two, took 12 years to develop, just the way we can sow a seed, and it might take a long time for it to grow. Well, this touch really began 12 years earlier, when she took sick. And as I've already mentioned to you, the verse 26 tells us that she suffered many things of many physicians. Oh, boys and girls, I could speak for a week on that very verse. You go to a physician for help. You go to a physician to be relieved of pain. But the physicians that she was encountering didn't relieve pain. They brought pain. She suffered at their hands. In other words, they were saying, oh, I know what to do for you. I can cure you. And what they did didn't cure her. They only increased her suffering. And so it is, boys and girls, with man's efforts to help poor sinners. They don't help. They only make things worse. There are people today living, and they believe that because they're going to church, and they're reaching in and giving money to the church, and they're trying to be kind to others, they're doing all these things because the church preacher has told them that's how you get to heaven. That's how you'll be saved from your sins. But that's not making them better. That's making them worse. Because they'll stand before the Lord one day and he will tell them, all your works are worthless. You're lost for all eternity because you took a medicine from man that doesn't work, and you refused my medicine, which does work, the gospel medicine. This poor woman, she spent all that she had. It cost her. The suffering that man inflicted upon her cost her money. Isn't it an awful thing to think that she went to these physicians, they didn't help her in the least, but they charged her money for increasing her pain. That's the way it is. The Lord Jesus does everything for nothing. Free. But the world's religion is a religion that costs you money, as well as costing you pain and suffering in the end. Oh, that we might understand that wee verse there. giving us the story of this poor woman tells you so much about man's notions as to how to get to heaven. And it shows us what will be the result. She grew worse. She grew worse. That's how it is with men's method of getting to heaven. Won't get you there. It'll see you lost forever. But let's notice what it is that prompted this woman to do what she did. What made her think of this? She had been going to these physicians thinking that would help her. And she paid out money. She endured suffering at their hands. And she wasn't getting any better. What made her think of touching the Saviour's clothes? Well, we're told. Would you look at it there? Verse 27. You got it? Verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus. Ah! That's what brought a change in her life. A change in her thinking. She heard of Jesus. She had gone to this physician because she heard from a neighbour perhaps or a friend, oh, he's good. So she went to him and he couldn't help her. So then she heard about another physician and she went to him and he didn't do her any good. And so it went on. Then one day she heard about Jesus. What did she hear? Well, she heard that he had healed lepers. He had healed those who were paralysed and couldn't move. He had healed those who were blind. He had delivered men and women and boys from the power of the devil. Indeed, every variety of disease that existed that day in Israel, the Lord Jesus healed someone from that disease. Every disease he healed someone from. That's what you heard. And hearing something happen. She was convinced. If you look at what it says, verse 28, having heard about the Saviour, she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now she went to the physicians, if I might return to that part of her life. She went to the physicians, and as she went up to the door of the house, she would say, well, maybe he'll help me. Maybe I'll get some relief here. But that's not how she came to the Lord Jesus. It says, she said, if I touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. There were no maybes and perhapses. She was certain. You see, faith had sprung up in her heart. Faith in the Lord Jesus. That's what faith does. Faith says, he can help me. He will heal me. He will deliver me. He will save me. Have you that faith today? Have you? Have you that faith in the Lord Jesus? Can you say with this woman, I've touched the Lord and therefore I'm healed. Healed from my sin. I'm on my way to heaven, boys and girls. This is all that I would press upon you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. She heard, and hearing she believed, and she came to Christ with that thought in her heart, I will be healed if I touch him. I've got to touch him, but if I touch him, I'll be healed. That's why it's important, boys and girls, for us to speak of Christ, say who he is, why he has come into this world, and what it is he does. Somebody told that woman. She overheard reports about the Saviour, and as a result of hearing, she has now come in the crowd, and she's determined to touch him. Now remember, this woman is near death. For 12 years, she has been suffering an ailment that day and daily was robbing her of strength, of life, so that I would say she was a feeble woman, and it would have been difficult for her to get through a crowd of men. But with determination, she squeezed her way through the crowd, and she reached out and she touched the garments of the Lord Jesus. In Luke's account of this wonderful miracle, Luke chapter 8, verse 44, we are told something very important. Here we are told she touched his clothes, his garments, and that's what happened. That's what happened. She touched his garment. That's what we've been singing. She only touched the hem of his garment. That's what Luke tells us. You see, she touched the hem of his garment. She didn't touch him on the shoulder, or the elbow, or around the back. The hem of my trousers. It's turned up, and it's sewn. And that's the last bit of work that was done on that garment. The girls can feel the hem on their skirts. That was the last bit of the work done by those who made that garment that you're wearing. And when she touched the hem of the Savior's garment, it was very significant. It speaks to us of what the Savior said on the cross of Calvary. Just before he died, what did he say? It is finished. The work that he was engaged in, even the saving of sinners. And on the cross, he was dying to save sinners. And as he died, he said, it is finished. And when that woman reached out and touched the hem, the last item or area of the garment to be sewn, the finishing of the garment, it speaks to us of faith in the finished work of Christ. That's what saves you. That's what saves you. We must put our faith in what Jesus did at the cross, that which he finished at the cross. Oh, I can't emphasize this enough. I was sharing these notes with my wife. Many of you here know her as Granny, or even Great Granny. And she said something to me, and I'm going to pass it on to you now. She said that poor woman stooped very low. She didn't have to stoop to touch his shoulder, but to touch the hem of his garment, and the garments of men in those days, right down to their feet. So she had to stoop right down. Boys and girls, there's a lesson for us there. We can only come to the Lord Jesus, stoop low, humbly, humbly, reaching out and seeking from him salvation. Oh, that you might do it, and do it soon. Aye, do it now. Touch the hem of his garment. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, write thy word on the hearts of the boys and the girls, and may they see in their mind's eye that dear lady. And may they recognize in what she did, there is a picture of what it is they have to do. Reach out and touch the Lord Jesus, and put their faith in his finished work at the cross. Bless our school today. Undertake, Lord, for all that concerns it. Teachers, pupils, parents, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.